Jesus, you have everything. You have everything. All are just resources, but He is our source. So I thank God that I have Jesus. Thank God for 50 years ago, there came a man named Art Sims from Kentucky. He went to our place in Pampanga. He saw a boy, a six years old boy, and he led them to the Bible club that they are having on that place. And that little boy went to the Bible club for one reason, because those Americans have candies. So they, after their teachings, they give candies to those children. They fed them with with soup and with biscuit. And then that six-year-old guy is very happy. And then he learned Jesus loves him. He learned John 3:16. He learned that he is need of Savior. He knows that Jesus died. He learned Jesus died for sin. And for a couple years, for 3 years, until he is 9 years, he's attending that Bible club, Bible school in that area, in their town. And then one time, this nine-year-old guy went away, and he went to his father to help him in work. And then after a couple of years, he went back again in that town. In that market, one day, he is lifting the meat that they are selling, because he is a worker in the market just to have money to eat and to feed his mother and his other siblings. And Pastor Art Sims is in that market that day, and he saw this young guy. He said, "I know you." And the Filipino boy said, "I know you also. You are Pastor Art Sims. Yeah, you are the guy that we're teaching in our Bible school." And he said, "What are you doing now?" "I'm here right now in a market doing work." And he said, "Are you going to school?" "No, I didn't went to school because we don't have money to pay. My mother doesn't have it." And he said, "Come with us. Go in my place. My church has a Bible college," he said. Art Sims built a Bible college in Pampanga. It called it Bayanihan, for the military in Clark Air Force Base. And then he went there and he said, "I will send you to school. And I will send you in my Bible school, and I will teach you, and I will be your son. I will be your father, like your father." And the Filipino guy treated that as his a second father. And that guy went to the school, graduated in a middle school, junior high, and when he went to Bible College of Pastor Art Sims. And that old young boy teaching in Bible college, he went to Bible school, adopted by Pastor Art Sims when he was a kid. And that guy is now, he is preaching the gospel for 25 years. And that guy is my father. He's my father. So I want to take this opportunity, folks, American, for your love for our country. If it wasn't for Pastor Art Sims, my father now is not saved. Maybe there's no Bible college there that has product of 30 pastors in our place, 300 pastors in our place. Thank you for your supports. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for that guy, for those missionaries, for those love, for those churches that support that missionary. I'm here in front of you because of the love of Jesus and because Americans love Philippines. So thank you very much for that. And the reason why I'm here in America, because God gave me an opportunity to sharpen more my sword and equip more, accumulate more knowledge in Marietta Bible College. I'm on my last year, and being in my last year, they allowed us to do deputation. I said that if I will graduate, I will want to go back. And my father said, "No, son, if they allow you to do deputation, grab it so that you will do more here in the Philippines." And that's what I want to do more in the Philippines. I will be going to a place, I'm going to start to a place named Makabebe, Pampanga, where it has 110,000 population. And that is the sad thing is there's no Baptist there. The sadness in that area is 98% are Catholics. So what about those 2%? They are still not Christian. they are cults that believe on contrary to the Bible. And God gave me a burden in that place because that place is a flooded place. It is flooded right now. It is flooded right now. Please do pray for the condition in my place. My hometown and my Makabebe, Pampanga are just together. And right now, my father and our workers are living, are staying in our church because our house got flooded. Our kitchen is full of mud and full of blood, and it collapsed. So they cannot use our house now, so they are staying in our church. Please pray that the water will be gone so that they can go back in our house, in our home, and the condition will be go well because there's no classes right now there. The reason why I still believe, the reason why there's a need in Makabebe, in that particular place, because that place is idolatrous place. Catholics here and Catholics there are different. Catholics there are extreme. They nailed themselves on the cross so that they can forgive the sins of their family and themselves. They can walk from aisle and going to the altar with their knees, praying their rosary. They are so devoted in that place. And that is the big barrier that we are destroying right now, the barrier of religion. Our problem there is religion, thinking that they are saved because they have religion. They are doing this good stuff. But I do believe, because of the light of the Bible, because of the Bible says that religion will not save you. Amen. Relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will save you. They think they are good and they are going to heaven. But look at the condition in the Philippines. Look at the condition in Makabebe, Pampanga. They are underwater now. Why? Because they are doomed because of their sins. And because I believe there's a need there for a church. I want to build a church there. I'm raising right now a... If all of my meetings in my calendar will always support me $25 a month, I can go back in May ready to start in Makabebe. Because I want to live there. I want to rent a house there and live there and use it as a mission house. There's our guys that I discipled in my home church that wants to live with me, stay with me, and help me in my work. Brother Arvin, what is $25? Maybe here, $25 is just a sweet tea and nuggets. And amen, and a biscuit and a burger. But $25 in the Philippines, what is that, Brother Arvin? $25 in the Philippines, you can pay for our 2 months' electric bill. $25 can feed 800 children at one time. $25 can pay our water bill for 2 months. And $25 can pay our transportation for 1 month. That's how big your money is. What I'm trying to say is it will be a big help already for us. So that is what I'm raising. Not just that, but main reason is I'm raising for an army of prayer warriors. We need your prayer. I believe the biggest and the greatest support that we will have as a missionary is support of prayer. Don't get a card from me if you will not pray for me. Because this is the only one I have left. No, but if you mean business and you like to pray for me, every time you read your Bible, you see my card, please say a little word of prayer, that even though it's evening here, you're praying, I'm knocking doors there at the morning, and it will give us a power. I believe in the power of prayer. Amen. I believe Holy Spirit works well and works soft because of prayer. I still believe heart of people will be changed because of prayer. So please, if you have one like this, pray for me. And if you will not pray for me, I will pray for you. I will pray for you, that you will pray for me. So thank you for this opportunity of being here. Thank God for allowing me to be here. It's an honor and blessing to stand in another pulpit and with a Baptist church. And thank God for another life of this time. But what I need to say is, what I need to give you is the word of God. And I pray that I will become a blessing. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you still have your Bibles, and I hope you do have your Bibles, let's open this in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Brother Arvin, we want to get out of this room early. It depends upon your amen. If your amen is louder, it will... Amen? I want to go early, huh? You want the word of God?
Amen.
You really want to go early. Okay. John chapter 4, verses 35 to 36. The Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." There's the harvest again. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the field, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all want to hear your word. We all want to hear you, O God. Use me as an instrument. May that Holy Spirit be our teacher. Have your way, O God. Lord, you search our hearts, search our mind. The reason why we are here, O God, because we need instruction, we need rebuke, we need knowledge, we need wisdom from you, O God. And help me, guide me, O God, as I preach. May I be your instrument, and may you be seen in our midst, O God. May you be the one that will bless us, O Lord, and I give back all the glory. Whatever accomplishment I will have in this pulpit, it's all yours. It's all by you, O God. And I pray, dear God, that we will leave this room that had a passion once again for the lost soul, that has a meaningful life once again. And we will leave this room, and we will do our works with another vision, O God, with another kind of heart that is right in you. Lord, bless our time. Have your way, and may your name be glorified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe a book is important. A chapter is very important. A couple of verses important. But today, we are just getting one verse. And in that one verse, we can see three kinds of things. In that single verse, I believe that the Bible is really rich. I believe that the Bible, even though you read it over and over again, there is a fresh and new kinds of teaching that it will show you depends of what you need. And here right now, for just one verse, we will have three kinds of things. And in your Bible, if it is a King James, you can see that the letter there is red. If it is red, meaning it came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning it is important. It is so important. I'm not saying that the other verses that are in black ink is not important, but we can see here, every time Jesus Christ speaks, it is important. Even if it's jot or tittle, if it's jot a one word or two words, it is important because Jesus Christ will say it, will said this because you need this, because we need it. And right now, you are here sitting in that pews, not to listen for jokes, not to listen how pitiful people in Philippines are, but I believe we are here inside of this room because of Jesus. Because we want to hear Jesus. Because we want to open our Bible. Because I believe church is all about Jesus. You sing, it's all about Him. You hear the Word of God, it's all about Him. You drive, it's all about Him. You pray, it's all about Him. You give your offering, it's all about Him. You kneel in this altar, it's all about Him. You do a special number, you play the guitar, you play the piano, it's all about Him. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I will not be here. And we will not be here. But thank God, I'm doing this for my Jesus. Now here, as we can see in our time, in day and age, we're living in a dangerous place. In a dangerous age. I'm 25 years old, and I've been to a lot of churches, and they said to me, brother, son, missionary, Arvin, James, Ancheta, America is not like this 40 years ago. 50 years ago. Christians are not like this. Earth is not like this 20 to 35 years ago. Why? Because we are, as we can see right now, we're living in the day and age. It's not getting better and better and better. And that's the reason why we are in the church, not to hear this negativity around our earth, but around our world, but we are here on earth to do things that we need to do. It's not our job to explain it. It's not our job to do argument. It's not our job that when we watch this and we see this, our job is to pray for this. Our job is to do our main job. And as we can see, there, Jesus Christ, although He is the main thing today in this hour, as we can see, Jesus Christ is absent in three letters C in our world. Number one, Jesus Christ is absent now in our community. A while ago, there's a story about the middle school thing that about the the boy and girl thing that they need to fill out. Look at that. Look at that. The school is destroying the children that's supposed to build the children. And as we can see right now, the hands of the devil is not attacking us from the outside, but he is attacking us from the inside, and it's in our education. I have a cousin, and he will go to Harvard. He wants to go to Harvard, the one that there. I said, could you, brother, consider another school? Because I've heard that there are people there that teach evolution. You learn a lot of things here from the Lord, that God created heaven and earth. God is our author and the finisher of our faith. And then you will sit in the room and the teacher will say, we came from amoeba. You are a cousin of chimpanzee. Not me also. Maybe in color, but I believe God made me. See, that as we can see in our community, Jesus Christ is absent. Before, in our day, when I am elementary and I am in school when I was 6 years old, we have a prayer before we start the class. And I have a sister which is now 11 years old, and I asked him, do you still have the prayer? He said, no, because I have a classmate that is Muslim. And that it will offend them. And they will report it to the administration, and they will not enter that school anymore. That's why we remove prayer. You know what happened in that place? You know what happened in many schools right now? Killings. You know what happened in the school right now? Children are bullies. Children doesn't know the word Jesus Christ. And if you will share to them when they already grown up, do you know Jesus Christ? I don't need that. Why? Because it starts in our community. They don't want Jesus. You can go to some establishment. You cannot just say Jesus. In Marietta, Ohio, we are doing like the student doing like a street preaching and holding up placards, and they are getting bad stuff from those drivers. They cuss them, they throw them bad words, they threat their lives, they stoned them with bottles of water. Why? Because they don't want the name Jesus. In our community, Jesus is absent. Another thing, not just in our community, that's a thing. Another thing, Jesus now is absent in a lot of church. Oh, Brother Arvin, that's not true, because Jesus Christ built the church. Can I tell you something? That there are a lot of church today that didn't found in Jesus' name. And you will enter in that church, and you will enter in that church that you will not hear the name Jesus. All they can say is, raise up your wallet and you will be wealthy. If you are happy, God is happy. And there are thousands of them. And can I tell you something? I rather chose to sit in a church with 10 people when it speaks about the name of Jesus Christ. And He is the only one that's being talked about. He is absent in a lot of church right now. Because I believe Satan learned also that every time he persecutes Christian, they grow. They go another place and they grow. So he will not do that tactic again. Instead of persecuting, he built a lot of false church. But can I tell you something? With all my conviction and with all of that Bible, light of that Bible, you are right now sitting in the right church. The church of God. The church of Jesus Christ. And I believe we have apostolic succession, and I will not tackle about that. But there are a lot of church right now that they don't preach Jesus. There's a cult in our place. The name of the church is Iglesia Cristo, meaning Church of Christ. But their doctrine, Christ is not God. Christ is not God. And I say, how come that your church name is Iglesias ni Cristo when Christ is only man to you? And they deceive a lot of people. And many people believe them. He is not just outside of community. He is not just outside of many churches. But sometimes Christ is outside on another letter C, on our character. I do believe that the greatest possession that we have is Christ. And the people needs to see Him. That if we look ourselves in the mirror while combing our hair, putting on our makeup maybe, or whatever, fixing your collar, tell on that mirror that Arbin, you're already dead. And the reason why you are live, you're living now, the life that you have now is Jesus. Because yes, I'm dead in sin. I'm going to hell. I cannot save myself. My mama and my dad cannot save myself. But thank God for that time when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That life that He had, He gave it on the cross. And what is the punishment of sin? Death. And He died. And He gave His life to me. And the reason why I live, and the reason why I live in heaven for eternity, because Jesus gave that life to me. And Arvin is already dead. And there's a new Arvin right now, Arvin with Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is absent in community, in another church, in church, and in character. But what are we going to do right now? We cannot control that. Sometimes it's getting harder and harder right now, because as we can see right now, Satan is on television, Satan is on the internet, Satan is on our phone, Satan is in our car. And what are we going to do now? There are three things that we can see here in this verse that we can do as a Christian. Amen? Amen. Brother, sister, someday we will leave this earth. You will leave that body. You will leave that physical body that has sickness. And the most important thing is you will see Jesus face to face in heaven. But while we are here still on earth, we need to be reminded of these three kinds of look. I entitled this message, Three Blessed Looks. Number one, we can see here, say not ye that there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. I want to use this next word, behold. Behold. And I want to make it to you, the word behold here, meaning, number one, the look of awareness. What are we going to do now? We need to be aware. We need to be aware. What we need today is a church member, a Christian, that is aware of what is happening. I've talked to a lot of Christians in our place and here in America, and I'm talking them about things, and it seems that they're not aware of what is happening right now. My friend, what we need today is a Christian that is aware from the word behold. Meaning of the word behold, this is the scenario in that text, in the verses. Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. They are in Samaria, and the Samaritans are there in their back. Like this. This is Jesus. He is talking there. The disciples are here. He is preaching about harvest, and the Samaritans are looking at them from afar. So now here, he said, behold, meaning he wants them to be aware on the next word that he's going to be saying. Because of the word behold, every time you will read it in the Bible, behold, meaning you need to watch for the next couple of words because that will be important. That's why I'm getting that word, behold, because God wants your attention. God wants your awareness. God wants you to know, God wants you to be aware for the lost. For the lost. Amen. For the lost. Amen. For the lost. Amen. For the lost. Amen. Are we aware today, my friend, that as we go out of that door, we are ambassador of God? We are the salt of the earth, amen? We are the light of this world, amen? We have Jesus Christ, our medicine, our solution, our Savior. Amen? Amen? We need to be aware that there are lost that God gave into our lives to share the gospel to them. I don't have a grandpa that pray for my salvation. I don't have a grandma to pray for us because they are not saved. My father and my mother are the first person that is saved in their families. But thank God, my father, being a preacher, he went to his siblings, to his brothers and sisters, and led them to the Lord. He prayed for them, and he led my grandma to the Lord. But there is one guy, his father, who doesn't want to accept Jesus Christ. My grandfather, in my father's side, he is so mean. He is so terrible. He will not say, I love you to you. He is hard. He is tough. He thinks that his He's as intelligent, and his money is good enough to save him. But you know what? My father always pray for him. First thing you do for the lost, if you are aware, pray for them. And then one time my father went to he is already in the Bible college, and he went to their home, and my father said, and my grandfather said, I don't want you to go to that school. Go to work. If I see you again entering that Bible college, you will no longer be my son. That's usual in the Philippines. They will drive you out. But still, he said, my father, this word, if I will not continue, how will you be saved? And what my grandfather did, he grabbed his bag, he opened his bag, he dropped his clothes, and he got his only one trouser or slacks. He get the scissor, he cut holes in the pants and the trousers of my father, and then he gave it to him and said, okay, then go, then use it. And my father went out to the door crying, but he doesn't want to leave his calling. He doesn't want to leave his faith. He wants to obey his father. He prayed for her. He prayed for him. And as he go out of the door, his pastor is waiting there outside, and he hugged my father, and he said, he will be fine. He will be fine. Just keep on praying. My father didn't quit. My father didn't quit because he is aware. For the last moment of my grandfather, for out of the blue, he went to our home. I was just a small kid that day. He went to our home. Why? Because he found that he has a cancer. And he knows he's about to die. He went there. He went to my father and said, could you help me? I'm afraid. Could you help me? I'm afraid. And that very moment, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. After 3 days, my grandfather died. But all of us are rejoicing. Why? Because he is saved. Because my father is aware. My friend, prayers, God still answers prayers. All we need to do is we need to be aware. You are a grandpa. You are a father. You are a Christian. Your child, your grandchildren is far more blessed than me. Because they have you. All you need to do is to be aware. Number two, not just to be aware, another letter A is, he said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. We will get that those words, lift up your eyes. Now you are aware. Now you know that your main purpose in life is soul winning. Your main purpose in life is leading someone to the Lord. Preacher, Pastor Arvin, I don't know how to lead to the Lord. Then invite them here. Invite them. Call your pastor maybe. But I believe in this one thing. How are you saved? How come that you are saved if you don't know how to win souls? Because I believe winning souls is just telling your testimony about Jesus Christ. How you met the Lord and how He changed you. That's already a witnessing. Here we can see, not just to be aware, now that we are aware, He said, lift up your eyes. Now Jesus Christ got their attention. Now He said, lift up your eyes. Another letter A, the look of aim. We need to have an aim. We need to have a purpose. Like a gun. If their target is there, you will not aim here. What I'm saying is you will aim it to our target. My friend, our target today is the harvest. Our target today is our unsaved loved ones. Our target today is getting more and more and more equipped with this book, getting more and more and more fire from this church, getting more and more and more instruction from our pastor, getting more and more and more love from the Lord, and then we will aim that to the lost souls. That soul will be saved. There is a guy in my life that really did a lot of work just for me to be faithful. I'm about to quit Bible college because it's tough. I'm not enjoying. Kind of boring. 5 verses before you sleep. And it's English. And it's hard. I said, I want to quit. I don't want. And then God gave me this guy. He's already a pastor. And he said, "Brother Arvin, if God called you, you can run, but you can hide. You cannot hide. Instead of running, just staying. And by the grace of God, I finished my seminary because God gave me someone that took that aim in my life and have that courage to help me in my walk for the Lord. My friend, you also have a gun. But take an aim to a right thing. Sometimes we have person in our life that the Holy Spirit will say, lead him. Lead him to the Lord. Give him tracks. Tell about Jesus. But sometimes we refuse. But sometimes we're not doing it. Why? Because our aim is not to them. Now take our aim to the lost souls. Amen? Because he said, lift up your eyes. Jesus is telling, lift up your eyes. Look at those Samaritans behind you. They are the harvest that we need to have right now. I want you to know, my friend, that before... I want to leave that when this guy, Filipino guy, will leave you, and if we will not see anymore, I want to leave a memory to your heart and to your mind that there is a guy in the Philippines named Arvin Ancheta who loves souls. Because someone loves me also. That's why I'm here. So take our aim. In our place, in our home church, what we did is, I believe Satan is intelligent. But we need to take advantage of the wisdom that God is giving us. Amen. We need to be aware and we need to have edge because we have the Bible and God is greater. Satan is already loser. Satan knows his past. Satan knows his future. And he will be in hell. But we're going to heaven. We're winners. We're on the winning side. Amen. Because we have Jesus. We have God who is a winner. And he will not leave us nor forsake us. Now what we did in our place is we take advantage of birthdays. We take advantage of funerals. We take advantage of any New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, any kinds of holidays. And they will gather their families and they will preach the gospel. Why? Because our aim is lost souls. Every time I pass Makabebe going to the Bible college, I don't know, but God is always waking me up. God is always waking me up in that place. And I see those thousands of people in the streets, and the Holy Spirit is talking to me like, they don't have church. They don't have Savior. They are going to hell. Through those windows pane, through those windows of those... Of the vehicle that I'm riding, God is talking to me that these people will be perished and no one loves their soul. The reason why I don't go there in that place, because my friend, our aim right now is souls. Our aim right now is soul. I will not make them wealthy. I will not help them in a lot of things, but help them in their spiritual condition. They need the gospel. They need Jesus Christ. So are you. You have also your mission field. You are all missionaries. Your mission field is your home. Your mission field is your neighbor. Your mission field is your office where you work. Your mission field is your co-laborers. Your mission field is your loved ones. We can take advantage of these social medias that we can chat them. We can message them so that there is a seed that is being implanted in their hearts. My friend, it takes just aiming. Have that aim. First in prayer, and then do your job. Do your job. I cannot compare the joy leading someone to the Lord. I cannot compare the joy that I'm sitting there together with the one I led in Christ. You cannot compare that on any pizzas. You cannot compare that on any steak or any roller coaster rides. You cannot compare that on iPhone 6. You cannot compare that on a Mustang. What are you talking about, Brother Arvin? What I'm trying to say is, if you lead someone to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is happy. The heaven is rejoicing. My friend, take our aim. take our aim. Not just that, number three, not just a look of awareness, not just a look of aim, but number three, from the word, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Meaning, not just to be aware, not just to pray for the Lord, Lord, give me passion for souls. Lord, give me heart for lost souls. Lord, help me to lead someone to the Lord. But I still believe the most important thing is this last verse, last point. Look of action. Awareness and aiming is not that important. I mean, it's wasted if you will not take an action. Same as gun. If you are aware that there is deer, now you are aware. Now take the target, aim it with a scope or with your bow. You will not get the target or the deer or the turkey if you will not pull the trigger. What I'm trying to say is we need to have a Christian that do action for the Lord. We need to be involved. We need to have a ministry. We need to be involved in ministry of the church. We need to when the pastor will say, we have this ministry, who wants to go? You will be the first one to say, I'm in. I'm in. Because I love ministry. Because I love the work of God. I'm in because I still believe that if we will not do it, they will be perished. I'm in because Jesus Christ died on the cross and I don't want to put that on waste and I don't want to be just like that, but I'm in because I love sinners. Are you in? Are you taking actions, my friend? Take an action. We must do something. We must do something. Join the vision of our pastor. Join the vision of this church. Don't just sit. Amen? Amen. We will not just sit, amen? But we will do action for the Lord. Don't be dismayed if the harvest is few sometimes. There are times that the harvest is few, but what is important is slowly by slowly, we're doing what is the meaning of church. Brother, what is the meaning of church? It is came from the word. Oh, there's water here. The meaning of the church is ecclesia. What does that mean, Brother Arvin? You make it more complicated. Called out assembly. That is what some preachers and some textbooks says. Called out assembly. Right, but that is not enough. Meaning of ecclesia is called out assembly. You are called out from the world. You're taken out from the world. You've been forgiven. You are now part of the house of God or the family of God, the body of Christ, and the soon bride of Christ. But the real meaning of ecclesia is called out assembly for a purpose. We have a purpose. We are charged to do something while here on earth. There is a pastor that preached, and I like this word, and I'm taking this in my life for the rest of my life. He said, just imagine that you are all from heaven. You're not from the world. You've never been here, never been in this earth before, but you are a citizen of heaven, which we are, amen? Amen. And then God sends you to earth because this earth will about to be punished. And there will be a judgment on this earth. So we are not from here. We are not from this earth. We're from heaven, but not angels. We're from heaven. And then God sends you now here. God sends you now there in that place, in that home, in that community. But you are from heaven. Why? Because you have a mission here on earth. And that is good. That is good stuff that sometimes we forgot. That we will just leave this earth. And sometimes we build our kingdom here on earth. Sometimes we build our good things here on earth. But we forget that we will live in heaven for eternity and not here on earth. And we will leave this. And the Bible said there will be no stone together. God will consume this with fire. But the main thing that we are here, my friend, is to have an action for the lost souls. Brother Arvin, we already hearing about that every day, every time in the gospel. But what we need today is a reminder that we need to be reminded of our duty for the Lord. Because we are soldiers of Christ. We are in the cavalry of the Lord, as those children talked a while ago. Brother Arvin, after 11 months, what will you do when you come back, when you go back to the Philippines? I'm going to preach my Jesus. I'm going to preach my Jesus to those countrymen. I'm going to knock those doors. And every possible chances that I can win them to the Lord, I will do it. Because that is what God wants me to do. And I love to do it for my Savior. I just want to end this with a story. Why I'm continuing for the Lord. There is a guy named Brother Lito. I met them in our campus ministry. Pray for me also. I'm praying for a PA system that can gather many people and then I can preach in one time for those. Because what we did is split those because they cannot hear me from afar. But he is a product of that campus ministry in their school. Brother Lito is a guy that is devoted to Catholicism. He knows Bible more than me. He memorized verses more than I do. And that is a shame. He knows Bible from cover to cover. Actually, when you said, open to the book of Mark, he will just grab it like that. And it's on Mark. That's how he used to his Bible. And it's all, and there's a lot of, but we asked him if he is saved. He said, I don't know. That's the sad thing, right? That's the sad thing. And then one time, I told my team that we need to invest to Brother Lito's life. And then we need to go to their house. We went to their house for Bible study for maybe 1 year, 1 year of Bible study. And Brother Lito now learned that he is a sinner. He learned the truth about the gospel. In other words, we led them to the Lord and he is now saved. Amen. He is not saved. But that is not the end of the story. It's good. It's worth it. Our labor is worth it already because Brother Lito is already saved and he is attending our church. But what Lito wants is his whole family to be saved. So he said, Pastor Arvin, could you go and continue that in our home so that my mama and my two other siblings will also learn. I want to share my testimony. I want to tell my story. And then we did that. And then one evening, Brother Lito is walking in the streets, in a dangerous street, and there is a fight with a knife. They fight with a knife. And Brother Lito, he knows one of them, and he grabbed that knife to the angry man. And the other guy struck him, and he was being stabbed by knife. And there they came the police. There came the police. And they saw Brother Lito holding a knife, and they think he is the one that is involved in that crime, in that place. But he didn't do it. They get him, they arrested him. The other person said that they make up stories. That's how sad it is, because Brother Lito is not a wealthy man, he's just a poor guy, and he spent in jail for 1.5 years until they bailed him out. But what happened is, his family, his grandmother, his other family, they curse the Baptist. I mean, they said, "Hey, look at this, Brother Lito. Look at this, Lito. See, you live Catholicism. See, Brother Lito. See, Lito. See, son. This is what happened if you leave Catholicism. You are now in jail because you listen to those Baptist preachers. You listen to that Arvin. You listen to those Bibles that they are talking about. Now you are here." They persecute him. In other words, but you know what? We already going to the jail to build up Brother Lito's faith. And then he didn't quit. He just prayed. We're still continuing what we were doing in their house, even though we are being persecuted. I'm preaching. And there's the grandmother said, I said, not true. Woo, junks, that are full of junks. It's hard. But I'm just shouting there. And then I'm still believing that what I'm doing is right. Amen? And God is with me. I know that. And what happened after that? We prayed that Lito will be out of jail, and God answered that prayer. He is there while he's healing. You know what? His mother came to know the Lord. His two other siblings came to know the Lord. Before Brother Lito go out of the prison, they are already attending our church. So, she's good now. How about his father? His father also is tough. But there came, after years, there came a night of Bible study. Actually, it's already a prayer meeting, cottage prayer meeting in that place. Tatay Alex or Father Alex, their father, that we always pray to be saved, from upstairs, he's hearing us preaching the gospel and doing with other guys there. We're laughing, we're singing gospel songs, special numbers, testimony. Brother Alex, carefully walking down the stair, and then he sat on the floor. He sat on the floor beside the wall. And he said, "Oh, brother Alex is now here. Brother Alex, at last he already came down." And then he make a testimony. He said, "Pastor, can I say something?" He rose up and he said, "Before he was one of our persecutor, but now this is his word. I believe what you're saying is true. My wife no longer in gamble. My wife no longer fight me. I've seen my wife, she's now gentle. Lito, even though he came from prison, I didn't hear any word from him that he hates God. And that is something. Now I see my children going to your church. They are going now early. They are now going home early. Before they are at night outside. Now they are early in home. Pastor, we have a peaceful house today. I believe what is true." Tatay Alex came to know the Lord. Why? Because of the testimony and the power of the awareness and the power of the action of his family. But sad to say, last year, Tatay Alex already gone home. But they are still in the church. Why? Because they know Tatay Alex, Father Alex is in the heaven right now. My friend, it takes one person, you, so that heaven will rejoice for another soul that came to Lord and Savior. Maybe today you are a visitor. Maybe today you don't know what I'm talking about. You always hear Jesus. Can I tell you something, my friend? If you don't know where you're going when you die, there's a place called hell. Brother Arvin, I don't believe on that hell. How do you believe on that? Hell is a place. When you see it, it's too late. Don't wait for that. I tell you, with the blood of Jesus Christ, He did it 2,000 years ago. He gave it to wash our sins. Just accept what He did. Accept Him in our heart as your Lord and Savior. Put your trust in Him that if you will die, only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can save you. My friend, we need to be aware. We need to take our aim, and we need to have action. Thank you so much, and may God bless us all.